Friends, please bear with me on this video. I had some technical challenges and I realized that the audio may not be at the quality that you are expecting, but the information is so great that if you would prefer, you can turn off the audio and just follow along with subtitles. We're going to be looking at Trump's Board of Peace, in particular the logo, as I have already covered in some detail my analysis of this Board of Peace that was announced in Davos, Switzerland at the World Economic Forum with a bunch of New World Disorder WEFers. That's how I call it, folks. So again, thank you for your patience with this less than high quality audio, and I hope that you will enjoy the insights that I share in this video.
A couple of days ago, I brought you this news that came out of Davos, Switzerland, with Trump's announcement of signing member countries onto his Board of Peace initiative. So I already covered that in great detail, and you can watch that video if you like. What we're going to be talking about is the logo, as you can see here in the upper right corner. Here it is, Board of Peace. And we also can see a map here of countries that have signed on and have accepted their personal invitation to the Board of Peace. Notably, you can see European countries are not really signed on with Trump. And you can also see that Greenland and Canada and most of South America, most of Africa, in fact, most of the world has not agreed to be on this Board of Peace. It is quite controversial, but not quite as controversial, apparently, as this logo that we're going to be looking at. So a little bit more of a lighthearted take on this Board of Peace. People on social media are saying, is this a sloppy mock-up by an untalented graphic designer, or is it just an AI creation? Is it a send-up of the Proud Boys logo? We're going to be breaking down the controversy. We're going to be looking at some of the things that look amiss and look strange and indeed could be the AI telltale signs. And then I'm also going to bring to you a very strange connection to Flat Earth and also to the United Nations and also to the letter Q. How do you like them apples? That is what we've got geared up for you. But
friends, before we go on, I have a question for you. Is your retirement portfolio built for what's coming next? If you're over 40 and planning to retire someday, the window to protect what you've built may be smaller than you realize. Many investors in their 40s and 50s discover they have little to no exposure to precious metals. That means that their savings are largely tied to markets, to policies, and paper assets, with very little protection if conditions change. As retirement moves from someday to on the horizon, protecting what you've already built becomes just as important as growing it. That's where Noble Gold Investments come in, because they help investors reduce risk by adding physical gold to their portfolios. Right now may be a smart time to talk with Noble Gold Investments. There's no pressure, there's no sales gimmicks, just clear answers and a strategy built around your goals. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com and build your portfolio for the long term. And if you qualify, you will get a 3-ounce American Virtues Independent Silver Round. Check out the details I have for you in the description box, along with the disclaimer that every investment carries a risk. So get your questions answered by the experts at noblegoldinvestments.com. All right, let's get back to the broadcast.
All right, let's dig in, friends, and take a look at this Board of Peace logo. There is the Board of Peace at the World Economic Forum, a bunch of WEFers there trying to march us closer to the one world government. Well, take a look here. This is what Trump's logo looks like for the Board of Peace. What do you notice about this? I want to take a look at your comments. And I looked at some things on social media, and I'm going to share with you what I uncovered. So here's one fellow says, it's super obviously AI. I was looking for Greenland, and I noticed something was off. Then a lot of other stuff. Look at the latitude and the longitude lines, the Caribbean, Florida, and the Great Lakes. So it does look a little strange. Look at these are the lines that the person is referencing. It does look kind of strange. Perhaps they're trying to make this be more of a global image. Here's another one. It looks like someone tried to draw a map from memory. It has a US-Canada border, not in the right place or shape, but no other national border. The Great Lakes are a hideous mess. Well, here's another map of the United States, and you can see. So let's take a look here. Florida Keys on the wrong opposite side of the state, mountains over the Great Lakes. Here's another. It's not even a circle. The globe is squashed. The image is pixelated and the leaves are misformed. Even Fiverr gives you better quality than this sloppy slop. So, if you're not aware of what Fiverr is, that is a website where you can go and pay $5 and even more to have somebody create a logo for you or do all kinds of other things. So, people are questioning the quality of this logo and why it was released with all of these. What looks to me like glaring errors. Here's another one. This person says, if a person asked AI to take the UN logo to reduce the map to not much more than the US, Canada, Greenland, and Venezuela, and to put it on a school shield from an old American high school movie, and then dip it in gold paint, then the result would be the logo used for the Board of Peace. So here we have the United Nations logo on the left. And let's dig into that just a little bit more, shall we? Oh, before we go any further, another commenter said, this looks like the Proud Boys logo, like a send-up of the Proud Boys. So the Proud Boys apparently are a little bit controversial, a patriotic group, and my understanding is they were somehow implicated into the January 6th orchestrated event. And you have to admit that the Board of Peace logo does very much resemble the Proud Boys. Someone else said, so he's reinventing the UN, but worse because he's in charge. What I noticed about the UN map, and many have as well, that it looks like it is depicting the flat Earth map. We're going to be taking a look at these laurel leaves in a moment, but let's just focus on the flat Earth map from the United Nations. In a moment, I'm going to tell you who designed this and how that is an interesting aspect for me as well. Here is the new standard map of the world called the Gliese map, and this is what people who surmise that we are not on a spinning globe will say that this is much more closely aligned with reality, especially when you are looking at flight paths and why, for example, to fly to Europe, you're going right here across Greenland if you're going from the United States to Europe. And when you look at other flight paths, you'll see that a lot of the layovers and so forth are right here. So this is a close-up view of that. Here's the United States, and we've got Australia over there. What I did is I took that map and I rotated it so that it matches up because here's Australia here, and that matches up the United Nations logo. So some would say they are mocking those people who still believe that we are on a spinning globe going 666 million or billion miles an hour. I've never felt that the earth is spinning. I see no evidence of that. I don't know how that works because there are so many questions with the theory of gravity. It is a theory. And I've talked about that at some length in other broadcasts. But let's take a look at this going a little more. The laurel wreath we also have on the United Nations, and we also see that on the Board of Peace. Why is the laurel wreath significant? Well, it ties back to Rome. You know how they say all roads lead to Rome? Well, the laurel wreath symbolizes military victories in Rome. And we know, most people do, how much it seems like Trump is, well, I'd say that there are people that draw parallels, but well, there are people who draw comparisons between Donald Trump and ancient Rome, especially, the late Republic, the early Empire. Some people will say he is akin to Julius Caesar, frequently kind of compared because of the cult of personality. And he pretty much, kind of like Caesar, just does his own thing. So that's what some people would say. Okay. There's a video out there that I actually aired a year ago about Donald Trump. And here I called him the Golden Don, Don. I did not create the video. I got a lot of flack for airing this video. I have it on a private setting on my YouTube channel because it really rubbed people the wrong way. I was just doing it as a little lighthearted note. So you probably could search for that online and you can see how some people were depicting Donald Trump, and there's the laurel wreaths again around his head. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about the United Nations logo, and we saw how similar it is to the Board of Peace logo. And I found it very, very interesting that the United Nations logo was actually designed by a man who basically was in the organization that was the precursor to the CIA. Here you see it's Oliver Lincoln Lundquist, if that was actually a real person. We're told it was an industrial designer who developed the United Nations logo. Now, what I found very interesting when I was digging into this a few years ago, I did a video talking about the interesting connection of the United Nations to Q-tips. Why does that even matter? I'm going to show you why in just a moment. So here we have the UN logo isn't the only design of Lundquist around today. He designed one of the most recognizable product packages still found on store shelves, the blue and white Q-tips box. You see Q there called Q-tips, like the Q movement. We're told that the original name for Q-tips was actually, it was marketed, the product was marketed as Baby Gaze, Gays, Baby Gaze. And then, so that was back in 1923. Then the name was changed to Q-tips Baby Gaze. And we're told that the Q stands for quality. And later it was just shortened to Q-tips. The reason I think this is so interesting is because back in the Cootie's Hogwash days, I came across this video on YouTube, but it was, I think it was in 2019 or something prior to all of the Cootie's Hogwash. And there was a woman that was on one of those Good Morning America talk shows, and she was showing how to make Q-tip flowers. Do you see what I see? It strangely resembles the graphic design, the computer-generated image that we were told was the COVID virus. Friends, I'm going to interrupt here because I am going to play for you my original video, a vintage video, I think from 2021 or 2022, when I first discovered this strange connection between the designer of the United Nations logo, the letter Q, the Q-tip that was stuck up everybody's nose, who succumbed and submitted to the nasal swab assault to be tested for a disease that was so deadly you didn't even know you had it. And then, of course, to the Cootie's Hogwash. And did I mention Q-tips? So let's enjoy this short vintage clip and then we'll finish out the rest of the video.
I want to thank a healthy American who pointed this out to me. So here is the logo, the World Economic Forum. And again, here's that kind of semicircle that we saw in the previous logos. And I just added the number six on top because that's what he pointed out. He said, this actually is creating a series of sixes. Do you think so? I think that's very interesting. The blue and the white. And here, this is the United Nations logo. Those of you that have been researching the truth about the shape of our Earth will know right away that this is a more accurate map than a globe. And we're going to take a look at the UN in just a moment, and we're going to look at their website, and we'll see what they say this logo means, why it was designed this way. And then the grand finale, I'm going to share with you who designed it and a very, very interesting, unique surprise at the end. It's very strange to me. I don't even know how I come across these things other than I'm just digging deep. All right, let's continue. We'll take that UN. Uh-oh,
I jumped ahead a little bit here. Okay. I gave you the punchline before I gave you the info. What we're going to do is we're going to hop right on over to the UN. So United Nations blog, and it says that an architect designed the UN logo. Well, that is kind of interesting to me. Architects are designers, so that makes sense. But let's dig a little deeper here, shall we? First of all, it says this article was originally published on the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency News and Information blog. Here is the person, we are told, who created this logo. Did you know this? Let me know in a comment below if you already knew this. Oliver Lincoln Lundquist, a talented architect and industrial designer, worked for the Office of Strategic Services, the OSS. Now, when I was getting my master's degree in international law and policy, I learned all about the OSS, and that indeed is the CIA's predecessor. So he worked for basically the CIA during World War II, and he led the team that designed the official United Nations emblem. So the team set out to create a lapel pin for the delegates that could serve as their official form of identification. Ooh, what do you think about that? He designed a pin that would be an official form of identification. Oh, I find that very interesting. It was initially designed by another OSS officer, Donald McLaughlin, who worked for Lundquist as the director of graphics. All right, this became the prototype for the UN logo we see today. Here's how they describe it. The design consisted of a top-down view of the globe. Oh, really? Centered on North America and showing all of the continents except Antarctica. And those of you that have been studying the truth about our world will know that that would be right in this circle right around the Earth. Yes. We'll have to have some deep dives on that coming up. With two olive branches on each side to symbolize peace. The design was in shades of blue, a purposeful choice to contrast with red, a color traditionally associated with war. The final emblem chosen by the UN was a slightly modified version of the design. All right, now we get to the punchline, friends. I find this very, very interesting. It says the designer, after his OSS service, Lundquist joined a private practice as an architect, working on hospitals, schools, private residences, and even the former Kodak building in Manhattan. He passed away at the age of 92. All right, here we go. I'm going to increase the size a little bit. Here's the punchline. Why they would even include this is curious to me. The UN logo isn't the only design of Lundquist around today. He also created one of the most recognizable product packages still found on store shelves, the blue and white Q-tip box. All right, we're going to talk about that. I know it sounds strange, but I never stop digging. Now, a couple of things are jumping out at me. The Q-tip box is also blue and white, just like the UN logo is blue and white. I need to do a little more digging to see if those colors have any significance. Please let me know in a comment below if you know something about that blue and white and if that means anything to you. What I want to focus on is the Q-tip box. First of all, it's strange to me that an architect who is designing hospitals, schools, private residences is going to design a package. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I find it very interesting that he did. I find it extremely interesting that the UN decided to include that in their description. So then let me come off the screen share for a moment because I want to talk to you face to face. There is something strange about the letter Q. Those of you that followed early on the QAnon using the letter Q, there is Q also was in, I think, the 007 movies. And this also is very strange to me. And I always am collecting these bits of information and then they become more significant as time goes on. I still need to get to the bottom of the Q. We use it in terms of IQ and many other things. Let me know in a comment below. The abbreviation that we use for Q, or if you have seen it in other applications as well. I heard a podcast. It is called How I Built This. And it was purported to be an interview with the creator of Wikipedia. All right. Now, I'm not saying he didn't create it. I'm not saying that somebody didn't bankroll the creation. I'm not saying that he was selected as the person to be the face of Wikipedia. I'm not saying any of that. But I am saying that there was a question that was pitched to him at the end. And this was a planned question. I'm sure that it was. And the question was to the Wikipedia creator, what was the very first entry in Wikipedia? What do you think the very first entry in Wikipedia, it's even difficult to say, Wikipedia is or was? When you think about the encyclopedia, I grew up with a set of encyclopedias at home, and it was really interesting to read and learn, and you could discover all kinds of things. I would think that perhaps maybe the first entry in Wikipedia would be, I don't know, maybe something about the Constitution, something of significance, something that would be amazing and incredible that we would say, yes, that needs to be in an encyclopedia. This is what his answer was. He said the first entry into Wikipedia was the letter Q. How do you like them apples? I think there's something very fishy going on with the letter Q. I happen to just bring up the Wikipedia page of the letter Q. Wouldn't you think that the first entry in the Wikipedia, if it was going to be a letter, would be the letter A? Why is it Q? Curious minds want to know. Let's take just a moment to see about this letter Q and then wait for the grand finale. And I'm going to show you all about Q-tips and what is stunning to me. I kind of gave you a little sneak peek. So let's take a look over here now, shall we? So Q, there you go. This article is about the letter of the alphabet. It's just very, very strange. I'm not going to go into too much detail here, but you may want to and find out if something here, perhaps with the Egyptian hieroglyph, does Q have a specific meaning? Why was it called Q Anon? Why wasn't it called A Anon or B Anon or F Anon? I would like to know. Maybe you know. I did not follow that whole situation anyway. So maybe you could let me know. So very interesting. The Greeks used it. It was a Semitic sound, the Latin, and it goes on and on. What I want to share with you is what I found out about Q-tips. Why are they called Q-tips? Isn't it? You know what a Q-tip is. That's what they stick up your nose. That's the other thing I think is really interesting. That's what they stick up your nose to make sure that you're not going to be a silent assassin walking around killing people and breathing on them. So they stick this type of Q-tip up your nose. I think that's an interesting tie-in. I'm also curious as to why it's called a Q-tip. The research that I uncovered states that it's called a Q-tip because it means quality. Well, that's a really weird name, a quality tip, a Q-tip. There's more that needs to be uncovered there, friends, I'm sure. But let's take a look now, shall we, at the craziest thing yet. I started to show you the image, and I'm actually going to take you over to a website. And I know it's getting a little dark, but I wanted to make this video so that we could leave the week and start the weekend on a rather humorous note. A curious note, I should say. Here's a video from 2016, Small Wonders of Design, Q-tips. And there is a woman now, and you'll be able to see a part of the video, and she is saying how great Q-tips are, and you don't necessarily need to use them for personal hygiene, that you can make arts and crafts out of them. Hang on to your hats. This is the type of arts and crafts she is making out of the Q-tips. Oh, yes. There we have it. There we have it. Doesn't that look suspiciously like something else that we've been bombarded with for the last 2.5 years? Doesn't it look like cooties? It does to me. I did a couple of frame grabs out of this video, and we will continue. So there we have the tie-in. We've got the UN logo created by an architect who also just happened to create the Q-tip box. The Q-tip is also what has been stuffed up everybody's nose, you know, to make sure they're not carrying around cooties. And this is 7 years ago, 2016, 6 years ago. Here we go. They're telling people in this video, I did a frame grab, that they should make flowers out of the Q-tips. And these flowers look suspiciously like the image, the computer-generated image, the Photoshop-created image of what we are told is cooties. I just am astounded. Lots of curiosity around the letter Q.
So that's the tie-in of the Q-tips with the United Nations, with the letter Q. And I don't even know if these stories are accurate, or I certainly can't verify them, but because that's what I got on the CIA website. I would like to hear from you, going back to the logo. What do you make of this Board of Peace logo? Do you think it was created by AI? Do you think that it's significant that there are laurel wreaths around it? And you know Trump likes gold. Hey, I like gold. So can't wait to read your comments, friends. Am I making a mountain out of a molehill? Or do we know them by their signs and symbols? Was this just a quick throw-together job that somebody asked ChatGPT to make? Or is there more here than meets the eye? What say you? Thanks for being on board. I look forward to reading your comments, and I'll see you in an upcoming broadcast.